Blog Talk Radio.
On a specified
6,000.
No plane.
Lieutenant.
No.
Draw by post.
On option.
That's right, you found it. You found, that's right. Don't keep switching that dial. Guess what? This is DJ Sonic Audio, and here we are. This is Arayeke Radio, straight up sponsored by Taino Radio. Let's get started. Let me tell you something, DJ Sonic Audio, I'm very happy Arayeke Radio is back and well. This is going to be our first show with so much news from the territories, from the different parts of the United States of America, what we call Turtle Island. And I have a hostess with me, her name, all the way from Matinecock Territory. That's right, in Queens, New York, we have enrolled tribal member, Mimi Martinez. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi. Hello. Hello.
Hey.
Everybody.
Oh,
how
man.
Are
you? How
you
doing?
For
how's
me.
Everything? Oh, man. I'm you're welcome, man. I'm glad you're here. Yeah. Tell us, how's Matinecock Territory doing? Is it sunny? Is it dark? Is it, what's going on over there?
Dark now, but it was a beautiful day. It's about day outside. It's beautiful. Thank you. How was your day?
Oh, not bad. I work today actually. They give me the day off on Monday if I work Saturdays, so that was kind of fun. And yeah, it was all right, man. Was that?
It's a perfect deal.
I know. Wow. So it was kind of cool because I got to meet some new clients and. You know, people are really struggling with anxiety these days. I mean, for a while now since Corona came out, but people seem to be stuck with this anxiety disorders, and it's kind of interesting how people are trying.
I think during COVID, a lot of people.
Oh, with
Sorry.
COVID, right?
Yes, with COVID, I think a lot of mental health needs to be in check because. It's been tough. It's been very stressful.
Oh yeah. And that's the key, is recognize the anxiety, and then what do you do with that anxiety? What are you gonna do? How are you gonna recover? And that's the key. But I'm just glad that people are at least trying to figure it out. And you know what? We got a beat reporter straight out of. Then Lumbee Territory and also Cherokee Territory, also an enrolled member of our Arayeke, Arayeke. Hold on. Sherman, what's up, Stephanie? How you doing?
Good. Hey, Mimi. Hey, Sarakori.
Hey, Steph.
Hey,
how are you doing?
It's good out here in North Carolina where I'm at. It's nice and overcast. It's been on and off rainy. Feels a little bit like fall for the first time in a long while. But a nice, cozy day.
Oh, that's great. Hey. That's great. I see you're at a powwow. Is that a powwow? I heard the drums and stuff. Wait a minute. That's great, man. So North Carolina. You know what I know about North Carolina? The history of wrestling. Professional wrestling. It's North Carolina is famous for its wrestling.
I haven't looked into that.
You got the NWA and WCW, all the great wrestlers from the South, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, man. I'm telling you, some great history there in North Carolina. I've never been there, but I would love to go one day.
Are you into wrestling, Santa Claus?
It's funny you should ask. I am a pro wrestler, actually. I'm a pro wrestler. I know, right?
That's so cool.
Yeah, my wrestler name is Taino Sagrado. But
what does that mean for people like me who don't really know Spanish too well?
Oh yeah, Sacred Taino. Sacred Taino.
Beautiful.
Sacred noble people. The translation in English. But I think Stephanie, we spoke about this before, right? In one of the shows about representations and stuff. About my character, Taino Sagrado. Was you I was talking to? No, I don't remember.
I'm not sure. I know we talked about, like, some Taino symbols and stuff in North Carolina that I've seen.
Yeah.
But I don't remember for the wrestling part.
No, you know what those? It was Natalie. Natalie, we did the show. We did part two of the representation. We did a great job, actually, in part one. We got great ratings for that, I wanted to tell you, from all our listeners.
Oh, that's good. That's been a relief.
Yeah, we got to get you back, man. Yeah, we're talking about Taino representation. But Natalie asked me about my character, Taino Sagrado, and I told her, sadly, when I wrestled in Borinquen, I got to wrestle there. It was my lifelong dream. The kids were scared of me. Most of the kids were scared. You know, I had the full makeup. I had the headdress and everything. I don't know. It was interesting that the kids are so colonized. They actually thought I was from Mexico or something, or a headhunter or something. I got that reaction. It was kind of crazy, right? I got that from the adults as well. That's what you call that disconnect, right? From the culture, from their roots. And they live right in the island. What do you think about that, Mimi? Isn't that interesting, that whole colonization aspect of, you know, like they were scared. They got scared, so I guess where they got their images from, I don't know.
I mean, I've never seen you in your costume. Was it like a mask or something?
What I do is the promoter who promotes the show, the wrestling show, he wanted me in full regalia. So I wore full regalia, Taino regalia, and I gave a little colorful, little more color.
To me.
Was that?
And that was their impression? They probably have never been exposed.
Well, that's the thing. And the town that I wrestled at was Nanajita, which is a mountain town. It's up in the mountains. It's a beautiful view. Oh my God, it's by a lake and everything. And I was like, whoa, I was floored by the reaction. One kid actually was brave enough to come to me to take a photo of me. I put my headdress on him, and that was cool. But they were very shy.
There's always
very,
that one kid that sees you, and then he's like, oh my God. They get really inspired, and they really stand out, and they really love. It spoke to him.
Yeah, it did. And he was he inspired me because it's like, wow. You know, a lot of these mountain children, they're very friendly. They're very loving. But I was shocked, you know, to see that reaction where, whoa. But yet, here in New York City, when I wrestled, they loved it. You know, I'm always cheered. The minute I walk through that curtain, I'm always cheered. You know, that whole romanticism of the native, you see that a lot in the wrestling world. You know, and I was, like, shocked that my own people thought I was an Aztec or something. They couldn't get that Taino connection. But some of the elders like me, they offered me some beer, you know, buy me some beer after the match. That was cool. So,
then,
yeah.
They might not have been exposed to the full regalia. They've probably seen it. They've probably been familiar with it, but in person, they were like, whoa.
And the crazy part of it, I became a heel. I was the heel. I was the bad guy. I was a villain because that was the reaction of the people. So it's funny how the Indian is seen as the bad guy, right? After a while, they call me an Indio. Soy la Taino, le voy con el indio. But, you know, that's just, you know, there's a lot of education that needs
the
to be done, right?
The
man, there's a lot.
Just recently, I saw on social media, there was a part on the, it was Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes talking about, you saw that? The video is basically Bugs Bunny behind a wall, and he's in this, I don't know, this suit. I think it's blue. I could be wrong.
It's some kind of soldier's uniform, I think.
Yes, exactly. And he's pointing a gun, and he's shooting, and he goes, like, one little, two little, three little Indian. You know, like, he's shooting.
He even says
Indian.
The word, he says the word engines, which is even worse. And then there's that one part. Yeah, he says engines, and then you see them, they're, like, short people with big, like, noses and just, you know, kind of, like, stereotypical. That's the probably the, maybe the, I don't know, maybe the least worst part of it. And he's tallying, right? Each one he shoots and, you know, presumably kills. And he writes one thing down and goes, oh, wait, that was a quote-unquote half-breed. And he erases half of that tally and continues, like, shooting. I mean, there's, like, a bunch of racism in cartoons. Like, Mickey Mouse's gloves is based off of, like, black enslaved, like, servants and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's not a good video that would never pass today, that Bugs Bunny thing.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I got to find that video.
I remember
seeing that.
I know I have it somewhere. Once I bring it up, I'll forward it to you. But that video is very offensive. I think when I saw it, it was posted in a Native community, like on Facebook. And a lot of them were speaking about it. Some of them thought it was funny because of the ignorance. It was just, wow.
A lot of ignorance. A lot of ignorance. And you get that in the island, like I said, with wrestling. But you know what it is? They don't understand.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, sorry. I think also with the images, too, probably across America is in, like, colonized lands, as, you know, not only a misrepresentation of the culture, but that it's kind of extinct. You know, like, kids would play, like, quote-unquote, like, cowboys and Indians, and no one wanted to be the Indian. And they were taught of something of, like, almost mythical, a thing of the past, and different flavors for the cowboys and for the quote-unquote Indians. But yeah,
that's crazy. You're right. Well, that's the thing. If they think they're if they think of people as extinct, they can do anything they want. They can say anything they want. They can write anything they want. If they think they're extinct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, that's the thing.
That seems
well, what
to be
do you
the
all...
case with a lot of things.
Yeah. That's it, man. That's why it's very historical what we're doing as a Yucayeque. You know, it's almost
what
like taking a pause.
You're about to form a question.
What was the question?
You had a question on your mind.
Who, me?
Yes, I'm a Corey. You had a question on your mind.
I think you lost.
Did you lose a question? I'm so sorry. Okay.
She got too many headshots. I took too many headshots. Like, Fainos Sagrado, so I can't. But let me see. Well, oh yeah, I did have a question. well, before the question, let me just remind people who are listening live at Ayeke Radio. If you want to call in later on, the guest call in is 515-602-9792. That's 515-602-9792. And I guess the question is, I'll direct it towards Stephanie, and then Mimi, if you have a question also, you can follow up. Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, you know, you live in North Carolina. Are there any Tainos out there? Any indigenous folks that you come across? Maybe colleagues, friends, strangers, you know, what?
So whether people identify as indigenous or not, like, I think the predominant Latino group up here is Mexicans. I do know some Puerto Ricans where I live in semi, like, rural North Carolina. I don't think they necessarily identify as Taino. But I was talking to a woman recently, and she's from Guyana. And, you know, I was like, hey, you know, I always like to ask people, like, what food do they like from where they're from, you know? What's famous there? And, you know, she definitely mentioned different kind of curries and coconut and stuff like that. And she mentioned hot pepper pot. And I was like, oh, that's like in Jamaica. I was like, that's like indigenous. And, you know, there's also like African influences. But like I was like, and she was just like delighted to hear about it. And then I asked her, do you know about like soursop or guanabana? And she even knew it by the name of guanabana. And when I told her that, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, these different kind of fruits, ones she hadn't thought about in a long time. When I shared, you know, that, I was like, oh, yeah, because people went from, like, that area probably roughly around South America up through the Caribbean. And her face seemed to, like, light up. I could be wrong. But she seemed to very much, like, respect, like, the mix of, like, different cultures and just love it to death. And we just really bonded over that and got hungry after because it was late in the evening.
Nice. And she's from Guyana?
Yeah. There's an older woman from Guyana.
Oh, and what does she identify as?
It might be different because, like, within the context of America versus there, just by chatting with her, but she would be black, yeah.
You know, what's interesting, I don't know if you know this, but Guyana is one of our homelands of the Arawak.
Okay.
Of the Lokono, yeah, during the invasion of 1492.
Yeah, don't you hear they have a lot of the language preserved, too?
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. That was the first from the Orinoco River, Colombia, Venezuela, Guyana. That's where they began the island hop. The first island was Trinidad.
And there's a lot of black cousins of the Taínos, like, there, I think, and across, like, the Caribbean, like, the Garifuna, like, all sorts of people, like, definitely.
Yeah.
All cousins.
You know what's interesting? You know what's interesting? This is a true story. Ready for this? You're not going to believe this. I was at a powwow, right? And I met an elder. No, it wasn't a powwow. It was a festival in the Bronx. I'm sorry. And I was performing, right? She comes to me. She says, "You Taíno?" I'm like, "Yes." And she looked. She looked like us, you know? You know, and then, and I says, where are you from? She says, Guyana. I'm like, oh, my God, Lokono.
Oh.
And then she starts, yeah, and then she starts talking the Arawak language. And I try to speak what I knew. And we understood each other a little bit. And you know, she gave me a hug. Older woman, I would say in her 70s, mid-70s, whatever. So at this point, just true story, I had just gotten my brand new bling, the Native American bling. It's like a set of gold is the beaded necklace. And
okay.
I had a huge huge medallion that was beaded. Got it from Lakota woman who beaded it for me. I just got it in the mail that week. I was showing it off. It had a coqui on it. It says Taíno, you know, so. So now my friends came over, we're talking to her, we're like eating it up, man. She's like a celebrity, you know? And in front of everyone, she goes, "Oh, I like your necklace." I'm like, "Oh, cool, thank you. I want it." So I was like, "What?" And I'm like, "You want it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I want it. That's lovely." You know, I'm like, she wants it. So I said, "Well, I just got it in the mail and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can give you another necklace," and I happen to have another necklace, you know. Not as nice, but so she took the necklace, the other necklace, and then before we departed, she's like, "I really like your necklace." And I said to myself, my gut was telling me, well, this is an elder, this is a Lokono, I should give it to her, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did not give it to her. And you know, we have Cleopatra. She's one of our members in the Yukayeke. She can testify to this. She was there when my necklace broke a couple of days later. And she helped put it back together again. It broke again. And one day I lost it. I had no idea where it was. So here's the lesson, people. If an elder asks you for your necklace, you better give it to them.
So, I mean, was this necklace that you, the medallion, it was, could you get another one?
Did not. I was so upset that Was upset that I lost it?
No,
upset
I mean,
that I didn't
could you have
the...
gotten another one had you given it to her? Was it something that you could have obtained again?
Wow. To tell you the truth, it took me 2 months to get that one. It was handmade, you know, it took me 2 months. And, you know, when you get something new, you get, like, you're all fascinated by it and all, and you know, like, that. I got caught up in the moment. So I said, man, I just waited 2 months, and now she wants it.
I have to wonder what, like, the ancestors or such, like, think about it. Because, like, imagine, like, if you had given something like that to her, it would show, like, respect and appreciation. She would be repping, like, you know, the quote-unquote, like, extinct people. And forming that connection with, like, a maybe an umbrella of respect, you know? Like, I'm just trying to think of what the greater message could be.
Well, here's the problem, and I should have known better. There's one aspect of indigenous culture that's universal, is we never stop giving each other gifts, you know? So I kind of got lost in the moment, you know, my own, you know, I love my necklace. I didn't want to give it up. So I guess I kind of forfeited that our values. You know, when someone asks you for something, especially an elder, the honor is to give it to them. You know, so, oh, man. So whenever I hear the word Guyana, I'm like, oh, it reminds me of that moment.
So. But, I mean, hey, you mind you learn from it. It's understandable you save up for something like that, you know, like you're kind of caught up in the moment, too. It makes sense, but
definitely.
You know, you can anything that happens to you, you can learn from and teach others about. So, not that it doesn't bring your necklace back, but you know.
I know, man. It's like it's lost forever. I don't have no clue even how I lost it. But
I
you know, it's interesting.
To add to that.
Tell me.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to add was when we were bringing up the lady from Guyana. It reminded me of this show called Lovecraft. What was it? Oh, my gosh. I'm forgetting it.
Lovecraft Country or something?
Yes. It was Lovecraft Country. This one episode where they had to find this book, this occult book, and they went on this through this door to find this ancient occult knowledge, and when they went through the door, they ended up on this Arawak ship, and the natives on the ship were unfortunately they looked kind of mummified or petrified or something like that.
Interesting.
And oh yeah, I'll show you the episode that I'm in question about in case you want to ever go and watch it, but as they're walking through, there's these tons of Arawak natives, indigenous on the boat, on the ship, and they're all like kind of mummified, but they look like they were in place, like they died exactly in place.
Wow.
And they were preserved, and they come across this big table as they're walking through with a woman who identifies as two-spirited, and they wake her to get this book of occult knowledge, and as she awakes and she turns from this petrified mummy looking like look into a woman, and she starts speaking the Arawak, the old Arawak language, the indigenous language, and it's supposedly from Guyana. Like the language that they speak in the show is the indigenous language for Guyana. And it was amazing to even see also a two-spirited representation in the show.
That is wonderful. You got to find that for me, huh? For us.
Will do. So I was
awesome.
Just reminded about that episode, and it was honestly one of the best episodes there was.
That is interesting. You got to forward that if you can find it, just a link.
I'm gonna look for it now first again. So let me write it down real quick before I forget. But yeah, and then the second thing I wanted to talk about it was a Mexican myth. Well, stories that are passed down some oral tradition, and there was this one, I don't remember his name. He became, there was a lot of myths about them becoming birds, but it's not the sun god, it's another tale. But either way, they were there was this king or chief in his tribe, and he valued material things like textiles, feathers, gems, so on and so forth. And these two twins came up to him. I believe there were two guys who said that they wanted to play a game, and the bet for whoever wins the game was your most valuable item. And so the game was kind of like basketball, because back then they had like this, like how basketball, because like, basketball was invented, I believe, by the people, was it Mexica? I think it was the Mexica?
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you're right. So they played the game, which is kind of like basketball. And so the guy, the leader loses the game. No, he wins the game, I'm sorry. And they hand him their most precious items, which was feathers that they had. And he basically looked at it and tossed it to the ground and was like, this isn't anything worthy, because he valued the gold. And so it kind of, when I thought about it, I was thinking about your medallion. I was like, you placed a lot of value in the medallion, and I know it's like it took so many months, but the elder, when you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's cool, man. You see, that's the whole thing, you know, about indigenous culture, certain protocols that that we follow. And that's what makes it so, you know, uniquely indigenous. And every culture has some stuff that goes on, right? That dynamics. Wow. You know, Stephanie, you mentioned about the pepper pot, right?
Yeah. One of the dishes Guyanese woman, I believe, really liked was pepper pot, which I knew they called it Jamaica, but I didn't know about Guyana until then.
Let me tell you something. The Spaniard writers, the historians, they wrote about how we ate and the stuff we ate, how we cooked, and so on. And, you know, we used to have these huge clay pots.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, we used to have, they witnessed this day, there was huge clay pots that would be cooking all day. And what we call sancocho is what our ancestors practiced. So they would put, they would constantly fill this pot all day. There was no three meals a day. It was when you were hungry, you ate from the pot. And eventually became known as the pepper pot.
I know that I didn't know a lot of the names, like, growing up with, like, my Puerto Rican grandma of the dishes, but I recognized them when they were served. And I know there's a lot of stuff, you know, European, African, and Taino mixes in there. But then I looked up some culture, I was like, wait, I've had this. Like, this is straight up, I've been eating indigenous food this whole time. It's not like a mix of stuff. It might have some new elements, but it's just straight up indigenous. Like in the creation stories, the kids, like when people are off hunting and stuff, they always have a pot to go eat.
That's it. So, and then, you know, everyone says about the siesta. They said they swear is you know, from Spain, right? That whole practice of siesta where you take a nap in the afternoon. Well, guess what? Our people did it too. Except when we did it, they called us lazy. Terrible, right?
Lord.
Yeah. But there was always plenty of food.
I think about that.
Huh? Yeah, right? See, there you
go. Sleep. Before the industrial age, I read about the old cycles of sleep. You know about that?
Don't. Sure.
Yeah. People would wake up in the middle of the night. Like, there's a famous poem or whatever, I forget by who, where he'd never finished because his friend came over in the middle of the night. As you would do at, like, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
People used to sleep 2 phases. Like, you would sleep for a couple of hours here, wake up in the middle of the night, and then have second sleep.
I believe so it ties into the industrial era. I could be wrong, but the use of, like, gas lamps and, like, possibly, like, electricity and such. Like, that's when it switched from a being away from that.
Interesting. Wow, that's cool stuff.
Wow, I didn't know about that. I didn't know about that. But mm-hmm. I did know we used to sleep in two different phases. Like, you would wake up in the middle, and then, especially your parents, like, they, like, mothers used to nurse their children in the middle of the night, and the whole family would be up with them, you know?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that you know, our ancestors will not leave their bohios at night. It was a strict protocol. You stay inside when the sun goes down. They're always they respected the opias, those spirits that roam around at night. So
Central America, there's probably mm-hmm. jaguars. Oh, sorry. Just like there's probably jaguars and stuff where our ancestors came from Central America. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, Ramon Panay, one of the reasons that Columbus told him to study the religion or the spirituality of our people is to learn how he can manipulate the worldviews, you know. And when he found out about that, he always attacked at night. You know, most of the Spaniards, they attacked at night. When either everyone was sleeping or when they knew the warriors were not outside, that's when they attacked.
They sound like cowards.
Well,
of course they were cowards. I mean, they weaponized their disease at some point, too.
Well, there was that famous council in 1511 in Borinquen when all the chiefs got together and the warriors. When the Spanish first heard about it, they attacked that night. And that kind of destroyed the rebellion right there. Many people were massacred that night. So, yeah, man. Wow.
Was there, like, an insider?
Yeah, it was a snitch. You know, what a lot of people don't understand, a lot of the chiefs, a lot of the Bejiques, whoever, you know, it was all about holding on to that power for many people. It's an old Homo sapien trait, right? Hold on to that power. So many of them saw the Spaniards as, yeah.
Colonizers is one of the biggest things that colonizers did for lots of different people of color and colonized people is, like, find ways to pit them against each other. People always want crit power, but, like, setting up all that dynamic so that they don't have to do all the work. That's they just pit people against each other.
That's it. What they call that famous phrase that Columbus started? What was it? I always forget this phrase. You know what I'm talking about. It's divide and conquer. Yeah, divide and conquer. You got it. You got to send your spies, and then you got to turn those people against their own. You know, so he did that well. He did that well because he used a lot of fear, you know, superior weapons, and so on. But I don't know. But you know,
there was hostility between tribes. There was, and he used that to his advantage. He exploited that.
Yeah.
I'm saying a lot of tribes, not all, like, are not many, but there were some tribes who were pitted against each other. They did have some type of beef against each other for whatever mm-hmm. reason. And once he found that out, he did use it to pit it against each other.
I mean, I think, like, Batu, like, was tied to, like, some kind of, like, rivalry, if I forget, in addition to being, like, a ceremonial thing, correct me if I'm wrong, and that people would, like, steal, I think maybe even under cover of night, like, each other's semis. I think I came across something. Does that ring a bell, Senequari?
Yes. Yeah, they would steal. Yeah, because the caciques, they held on to their power. And to hold on to your power, you know, the more semis you had, the more powerful you were. The more wives you had, the more powerful you were. So it was still wives. It was still semis. Yeah, that happened. That happened. You know, so wait a minute. Wait, we got a call. We got a caller.
Oh, my God.
Okay, a special caller.
Yes.
This is breaking news from Wait a second. I'm just trying to read here. It is breaking news. We want to interrupt our regular program for this breaking news straight out of, I guess this will be Matinicock and Shinnecock territories of the great island of Long Island, New York City. We have our very own Chiefess, Cacica, Stephanie, what's up?
Hey, hey guys.
Woo. Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
We got some breaking news here. Wait a minute. Wait, we just talking about caciques. Don't get offended, all right?
I'm sitting over here like, dang, do I need wives then? Because I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yo, try not to steal husbands, all right? You can't steal husbands, all right? What?
I can't steal husbands. I can steal wives.
And wives. She has them all.
Oh, my God.
Don't touch
me.
If
Cacica Stephanie ever visits your bojillo, please hide the semis.
Hide all the semis. All of them.
For all you, this is a special news bulletin. Hide them. That's too much, man. Well, imagine, right? So what's up, Stephanie? Tell us what's going on.
Nada. I saw you guys were doing a show. I wanted to stop in and say I'm so happy. I'm so glad that you guys are getting together to do this. I think it's going to be super interesting. You have two great, amazing hostess. I know them both personally. I'm actually related to both of them, too. So you know that they're amazing.
Prima. Thank you.
That's great. That's amazing.
I'm excited to see how you all put this together. I'm excited to see what comes about. And I'm super, super excited that you guys are giving yourselves to the show and volunteering your time and sharing your personalities. Because, like I said, I know both of you guys pretty well. And for the most part, you guys are pretty reserved around the others. So I'm excited to see your bubbly personalities come out on the show, especially because both of you are so knowledgeable, very, very knowledgeable. So I'm really excited, really excited for it.
That's why they're here, man. The knowledge.
Oh, my God. Yeah. My face is all red. Thank you. Oh, I'm humbled by your words. Thank you.
No. You guys keep me in a really good place. And, you know, your kinship, your familyship, our friendship, it helps to keep me very well grounded and very aware of still everything that goes on. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I came by and said congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you for
the support. Yes, of course.
Thank you.
I'm so nervous. This is my first time on the radio. I'm just like so nervous. I'm thinking I'm bombing, but then the support and love, you just uplifted me. Thank you.
Anytime. Just keep on doing exactly what you're doing, being yourself. And y'all are going to do amazing. I think already, like I said, it sounds great. You guys are doing great.
That's cool. Hey, Stephanie, I know you're busy. Before you leave, the other Stephanie, Sherman, she was mentioning about Sancocho. I know you're a good cook. You got any secret recipes for Sancocho?
Secret recipes? No, but I can get you guys one of the best recipes for Sancocho. If you want, I could share it with you guys in the group.
Is it your
own?
Oh,
there you go.
Please.
It's my grandmother's.
Please.
Yep.
Ooh.
See, how do I know that? There you go. Damn. You should share that, definitely. You should share that.
Yeah, maybe
wonderful.
We should get a recipe book put together, an Arayeke cookbook.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
God.
That.
I think that would
my
be pretty dope.
Up.
I just made plátanos rellenos today. So, yeah, why don't we get together and we can all put a few recipes together and make it a book. And if anybody wants to buy it in the group, they could buy it in the group. That'd be cool. Like medicinal stuff too, you know, like different recipes from different islands, people with different backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
all share like Taino or Kalinag, you know, like all of that, the Garifuna.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Wow, that's a good idea.
Oh,
man,
I told you guys. I want to do that. The recipe. Wow, that's
cool.
Great. We should get this done, like, seriously. I would absolutely buy one. And to do this, wow.
Yeah.
That's
we can do that. And, you know, we can make little videos if we're making the stuff, too, and share it.
That's the most traditional
dish that they are exceptionally good at.
I don't know. You have to ask my family that one.
Wait, who's the famous dish?
I said, what is
dish?
One dish? Yeah, the one dish that you're exceptionally good at making. It can be anything, or drink, anything, dessert, anything.
Well, it has to be the pasteles.
Yes.
But they made it out of yuca
and
fish.
Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yuca and
it
fish.
It makes more sense that way.
Yautia,
what
too,
fish?
The yautia.
Yuca and fish, because that's what they had available.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The rivers, the ocean fish, rivers.
And I heard that people back in the day, like, I don't think it was, like, everybody visiting each other's islands, but that there was, like, daily contact between, like, the different islands of, like, Quisqueya and Boriquen.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, like, a modern thing, but I saw people, they would kind of go out past the reef, so just drop off, catch some maybe more, you know, pelagic or, you know, deeper fish, and they would come and, like, sell them at the islands and stuff like that and trade and stuff like that.
That's
yeah,
what
cool.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They had a really good trade between the islands. They would trade all different
mm-hmm.
types of stuff.
And the Garifuna still do that, too, at least like part of Honduras where I was. So a lot of the things they think are extinct are, weirdly enough, like alive and well with like Sancocho and like all the different culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I know my grandparents, they used to tell me that whenever the people with their fruits and vegetables came around to sell, they always had some kind of call, you know, either a funny call. And you hear that now. You still hear that now, the funny calls. If they have the aguacate, aguacate, you know what I mean? Then everyone goes out, oh, shoot, aguacate. And but the way we did it, we had the concert show. We would play it, and then people would come out. So, you know, that was the Jibaro kind of culture. They used the conch show, so... That's it, man. We got, man, I'm telling you, nothing left. I'm telling you, most of these traditions, right?
Some of the fruit.
The fruit?
The what?
The fruit. You mentioned earlier.
Like Kinepa?
Oh,
yeah, sour
man,
crop.
Kinepa.
Yes. Yeah, the woman, I was like, do you know, like, Kinepa or Kinep? Because I know like, that's called that, like, in English. And she was like, oh, my God, like, I love those. Yeah, like, Kinepa and Guanabana and sour stuff. What have you experienced with soursop in your life, like visiting places or like wherever?
Well, the first time I was introduced to it was from my friend. She's Haitian. She told me about it. The first time I heard about it, I was like, whoa, what is it? She's like, it tastes like custard. And I was like, a fruit that's custard? It was weird. And then she's like, yeah, no, you gotta try it. It's so good. Don't get distracted by the custard thing. Because a lot of people don't like that.
I think it's related to the custard apple. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I had a custard apple just recently, too. I tried it. I have this new thing where I'm just trying all these different types of fruits. And so when I tried the soursop, at first I was like, I'm probably not going to like it. It's got, like, it could be a milky-type flavor. But wow, when I tried it, it was delicious.
It's not like anything.
More dishes.
Yeah, I had it for the first time. Like, my mom had told me about it. I think the first time I had Kinepa was in the Bronx visiting my mom's old neighborhood. But when I lived in Australia as a kid, there's lots of tropical fruit. And I remember trying soursop on Guanabana. And I don't know, I just loved it. Like, even like the thick black seeds that it has. The juices, the ice cream, nothing compares to, like, having a whole one and kind of just getting messy with it.
I've never tried one fully ripe. I've had one that was like, it was a little bit hard. So maybe I just need to try some more, but it's delicious. There is, you're right, nothing is like that. And I also have a thing for passion fruit. I don't know what it is, but it's so good.
Oh, passion fruit's the best.
Right?
It lowers your blood pressure.
I used to take water and just put like the pulp of the passion fruit in there and just drink that all day. It's so good. It's probably a good detox too, isn't it?
Oh, really? Why
and also...
That? Wait.
Oh, go ahead.
Wait, misunderstood. You say that again?
Like, it could be a good detox if you drink it with water just, like, throughout the day because it gives the water... Because it has so much flavor in it, you can dilute it down and it would still taste really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Man. I don't know about they got here. They sell it. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I've mixed passion fruit with, I think, yogurt before. I think my mom showed me that. I don't know if that's a thing. But looking it up, that a lot of the genus for passion fruit, which is Passiflora, is from Mexico, Central, and South America. So not only is it tasty, I think our ancestral taste buds know it's tasty.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, look at this. You know, I just heard this.
Ancestral taste buds. No, go ahead. Sorry.
I just found this website. It says Cancer Treatment Centers of America. Experts warn against using soursop to fight cancer because it was never tested on humans. I guess they tested on rats, whatever. But you don't have to test it. Our ancestors didn't have all those cancers, right? They had the guanabana all day.
I've never heard of that. Yeah, I've never heard of our ancestors having cancer.
Mm-hmm. They say that the graviola tree, it's an evergreen native to Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, and South America. It's also in Brazil. So, where did it originally came from? Oh, yeah, that's our food, man. That's our food, yeah. So, wow, now I'm craving for some soursop. Why not?
So, you know, I try to look up where to find it, and if you Google it, they have these outrageous prices.
$18 a pound in my neighborhood.
Right?
It's $18 a pound in my neighborhood.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive. I have a website that you guys can use to order it if you do want some, though. So, if you do, just let me know, and I'll send you over the information for it.
Wait, they send it to your house?
I would love.
They're locally sourced in Florida. They grow it in Florida, and the company actually donates money to, I believe, an organization that cares for animals or something like that. But they do it there. They ship it out, like, through FedEx, and it gets delivered straight to your front door as long as it's in season. So you can get soursop, you can get passion fruit, you can get black zapote, you can get burro bananas, you can get aguacate, basically anything that you can find in the Caribbean, you'll get there. Oh, you get lychee as well. They have rambutan.
Oh, lychee is so good.
Yeah.
It reminded me of cenepas.
Yeah, kind of a little bit. Mm-hmm. They also have yellow dragon fruit. And pink dragon fruit and the white dragon fruit. So
is that
they
the
have a good amount of stuff.
Box? Is that a tropical box?
They have a tropical box. They have a citrus box. They have a detox box. They also sell soursop leaf tea, which is great for diabetes and high blood pressure. Tamarindo is also very good for regulating diabetes as well.
This is great because I feel that we need this in our diet. We need this in our diet. Well, I don't know about everyone, but especially me, I don't eat enough fruit, and I should.
I know. I love those fruits. When I go to the islands, damn, I miss those fruits.
There's nothing like the fresh fruit from the island. So there's nothing like
that. That's the thing.
It's kind I think of, it was just walking, like, climb up a mango tree.
There are
people finding mangoes. It's everywhere. Yeah, like you can just go and get snacks. You can get sugars, you know, water, probably some electrolytes maybe. I don't know. Like just by walking around in nature. It's awesome.
Look at that. Guanabana is 81% water. Interesting.
Oh.
So you get hydrated.
Wow.
Makes sense, right? Tropical island.
It makes me think about those, like, fruit waters, like aguas frescas. Like, I didn't know much about them, but there's a number of, like, Mexican places around me and, like, food trucks and stuff. And, you know, there's, like, no pulp or anything in it, and I need to, like, look up more about it. But it seems like it's probably something really good and refreshing on, like, hot days or in hot climates, you know, because there's so much, like, water.
Hmm.
Don't they mix it? I think they mix it with milk or water, right?
I don't know. I need to look this up.
I think I've had them before. Jugos naturales, right? My Spanish is horrible. I've had that before. Oh my gosh. I'm trying to say it again. I'm struggling.
Naturales.
Yes. Naturales. Oh my gosh. No, but I've had those. They basically they concentrate the juice from the fruit, and then they add milk or water with it in a blender, and it is really good. They've served that sometimes in certain restaurants. In Puerto Rican-owned or Dominican-owned restaurants, they usually have those. I've never seen a Mexican-owned shop, but they probably do as well.
All that ties to indigenous stuff. I need to look more about this stuff and, like, the history and, like, different, like, names for it and, like, you know, what regions got different fruit since colonization. I have a lot of questions.
I have a lot of questions about food in general, about because we spoke about the pepper pot, but I want to know more, like more in depth, about what our ancestors ate. What were some natives eating?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fish. The protein was mostly from fish. I know they ate parrots.
Fish, crabs, iguana, was it cutias, I think, or something similar, some kind of rodents and things, and they would place them on the barbacoa or, like, the rack where they kind of, like, smoked it or cooked it that we get barbecue from, I think. I could be wrong on some of that, but.
Also, wasn't it, like, hamsters or gerbils?
I wouldn't be
surprised.
Who's
bigger than a gerbil? Who's bigger than a gerbil, the utia?
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, in the Andes, they eat the guinea pig.
Yeah, so. My aunt is, my tia is from Ecuador, and it's a delicacy for her.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, mass produced like crazy, so. Oh, listen, we're running out of time, but I got one final question for all of you. President Biden proclaimed Monday as Indigenous Peoples Day. What do you all think about that?
I think it's a win. It's a win. Now we can actually celebrate.
I think it's good to get traction, but I'm wondering, you know, like, what percentage of Indigenous peoples, like, definitely back it. Getting recognition is good to get a lot of word out there. But could it just be lip service? I believe he's Catholic, and I need to look up to see, like, what his stance is on not only addressing but investigating, like, the residential schools.
Stephanie said,
it will be able to raise awareness. We'll be able to celebrate openly. and have all day, and they'll be able to have ceremonies and parades and tons of other things to come. Like, it's going to get very creative. I have very high hopes about it.
More and more states and cities are getting it. Like, a dozen states officially recognize Indigenous Peoples Day. One of them is North Carolina, and a number of different cities across the U.S. Acknowledge it as well.
California, the whole state just recognized it. You have an Indigenous Day.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Well, that's the whole thing. Well, I think at the federal level, that's, I guess, historical, right? That they will acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Federal level, because then you're acknowledging
And it's like the day that Columbus Day was traditionally held on, right?
Right.
So trying to actually decolonize it, hopefully, with the narrative.
It's
no longer Columbus Day. It is Indigenous People's Day, correct?
Changed it. Yeah, but I think they're starting to recognize that people celebrated that on that day, but overall I think it's still Columbus Day. Is that right?
It's still Columbus Day and Indigenous Peoples Day. It's kind of interesting that sharing the day. Because he also wrote a proclamation, that's your tradition of presidents. He spoke about Columbus Day as well. And he wrote some negative stuff, too, about Columbus, which I think is the first president to do that. So, and I love Donald Trump, what he said. Not me if I was president. He said that yesterday, I believe,
Donald
at a
Trump.
Campaign. He said, not me if I was president. Well, I'm president, it's like that.
Of course.
So,
are we really surprised by him anymore?
But also, here it is. Biden, when he wrote about Columbus Day, Biden praised the role of Italian Americans in U.S. society, but also referenced the violence and the harm that Columbus and other explorers of the age brought about on the Americas. So he did acknowledge that. Today we also acknowledge the
Teddy
painful
Roosevelt.
History.
Better than Teddy Roosevelt.
Right. It's a change. Hey, anyone's in New York City tomorrow, we're going to be celebrating Indigenous Day of Remembrance, in which it's a ceremonial event where we honor the ancestors. And it's always the day before Columbus Day, and now Indigenous Peoples Day. So just honoring the ancestors, listening to the stories, that they did not die in vain, or they were not killed. They were killed and murdered, but their memory is still alive. Let me see. And those statues have to come down. There's a big statue in Columbus Circle, 59th Street, right before Merchants Gate in Central Park. That has to come down.
There's also what people don't talk about in Puerto Rico, and I forget the details. I think you looked up on Wikipedia, but no one wanted the statue. Trump didn't want the statue. And it got sent to Puerto Rico, and it's this massive, eyesore, huge sculpture of one of his ships. And he'll talk about things, but, stuff in Puerto Rico doesn't get acknowledged, and that massive behemoth thing is still there, and I think it's near a sacred site for the Taino.
If near down to Cueva de los Indios, you see it off the side of the road. It's huge.
Did you say, as you're approaching, this ancestral sacred site, you have to, see this monstrosity? There's no choice, you have to see it?
No choice. As soon as you look to the left when you're driving down there, you see it right there. You can't miss it. It's huge. And it's I believe, a town over or something.
You also look at
it.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's kind of a slap in the face that it's so close to... I'm sorry, Stephanie.
Oh, same. Go
I had
ahead.
Taken a Let's... photo of it when I went. If I could find it, I'll send it to you guys.
Well,
got it.
It's
kind of a slap in the face. What I was trying to say, because you said it's right by. an ancestral fight.
Well, it's a good tourist attraction.
Right? Am I? Did I hear that right?
If you want to look it up, it's called the Birth of the New World.
Birth of the New World. Let me see.
Yeah, it is 360 feet tall. It's huge.
It's a monster.
What?
Yeah, and it's on the sacred site. And it's weird, like, you can look it up on Wikipedia. It's been a while, like, and it never dug deep into it. But, like, no one wanted this statue. I forget who commissioned it, but that would be something to cover, like, for TikTok or something. The mayor.
Oh, I know the statue.
He's the mayor of Arecibo.
In the U.S. Really? I thought it was supposed to be initially in the U.S., but I could be totally wrong on that.
It was the mayor of Arecibo.
It was made in 1991.
Yeah, I think the guy was Ukraine, right? The artist is from Ukraine?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. Like, it was initially offered to Baltimore, Fort Lauderdale, Miami Beach, New York, and Columbus, Ohio. Like, no one wanted it. I think it was created in maybe 1991. But, yeah, it eventually was erected at Arecibo. No one wanted it.
It's taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Why did Puerto Rico accept it?
It's the same people that boo Taino Sagrado. The same people. They have no clue.
And you can look on Wikipedia. It shows, like, there's a separate section by, like, city of, like, search for a location and talks about these different, like, controversies and stuff like that. Like, for New York City, it says plans for it to be located in New York City were briefly resurrected in 1997 when the then real estate developer Donald Trump proposed that the statue be at one of his development of rail yards.
Mm-hmm.
But Rudy Giuliani nixed it. So it's tied to, like, Boricua. I don't know. It's tied to New York place. It's tied to everywhere.
That's it. That's
so
on the agenda.
They need to take this down or get rid of it, because the last place it deserves to be is in the Caribbean at all. Like, it should not even be in the Caribbean at all.
Well,
on Taino, like, land where, like, disease and stuff was brought, like, where he, like, if you're going to, like, look at, like, Columbus Day, the one we read about in our textbooks, and from what I know of different generations of Puerto Ricans, too, is they just teach you that you're always extinct, and, you know.
Even if people don't identify as Taino, this is still very offensive.
How about the town of Ponce in Puerto Rico? Ponce is there's five huge letters, right? That says Ponce when you enter the town of Ponce. Yeah, Ponce de Leon. He's he made his wealth in Quisqueya as an Indian killer. That was his title, Indian killer. Matador de Indios. That's where he made his wealth, hunting down
Indians. Some people had title of, like, protectors of the Indians and others killers of the Indians?
Well, that was Ponce de Leon. He was famous for that.
Yeah.
He made a lot of money killing our ancestors. And that's why that money, prestige, he came to Borinque and became the governor. Yeah, the guy's a monster. And yet it's Ponce. We got to get rid of that name, too. Get rid of Ponce, put a Guevara, right?
That's a great idea.
You got to take out
but
that.
But I'll never understand how people will praise the same people or basically look up to the same people who led to their downfall. It doesn't make any sense.
As part of the colonized mind.
That's it.
I still don't see. Maybe it's just because I'm just not seeing it from their point of view. But even in a colonized mind, you know that this person brought down the people on that same land that they are on. I mean, how can you praise?
I wonder what the people in the area think about it. People, whether people identify as Taino or not, I wonder what the Puerto Ricans around that area, people have to go through that area, who doesn't like bat an eye at it, who thinks it's just kind of an eyesore, who thinks it's disrespectful. It'd be interesting to actually see what people in Puerto Rico think of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get upset. They get upset. But just bringing it up, you know, get upset. That was my experience. Mm. Get upset. Like, don't talk about that, you know. In my experience.
So they don't want to talk about it.
Is it because it's like a bad memory for them, or because they don't want to be controversial and just kind of want to pretend it doesn't exist? Like, what was the upset kind of
feeling?
That's
a good point. That's a good point. I find that it's difficult for people to change. Change is difficult for people, I find.
People don't like to look in the mirror. They want to sweep stuff under the rug, you know?
It's tradition, you know, they hold on to that tradition. Ponce, Solia Ponce, you know, the flags. You know, Puerto Rican parade, everyone has the flags of the different towns. And, you know, Ponce is one of them. And that's Ponce de Leon's crest right there. Like, oh, my God. Indian killer. Waving his flag, you know. So it's like people need to be educated. Education.
And even, like, if you're talking about, like, if you want to raise awareness of what he did to the indigenous peoples, that is, like, totally legit. And a lot of these people also, like, went really hard. I don't know what Spain's take on him was, but, like, Columbus, I'm pretty sure he got, like, shackled and, like, shipped to Spain, like, because he went so hard. Like, even Spain knew, like, these people were messed up, I think. That took a Ponce de Leon, but, like, yeah, they sent the worst of the worst.
Well, Queen Isabella,
didn't
she kept getting a lot of complaints.
Take over?
Well, hold on. When Queen Isabella and Ferdinand, they were receiving a lot of complaints from the colonists that Columbus was ruthless. So they sent a representative, Francisco, and he witnessed what was going on, and he immediately arrested Columbus. He brought him back to Spain in chains. But because Columbus still had his powerful friends, they released him. But he died in disgrace. He never got his
poor
money,
baby.
His 10%. He tried to fight for his 10% of the wealth. So they never paid him. But, yeah,
karma.
He was arrested. 1500, he was arrested. He actually went back.
Didn't Cortez take over? I thought there was someone named Cortez who also did a lot of...
Oh, he went to Mexico. That's the invader of Mexico.
I need to brush up on him, but I have heard about, like, Hernando Cortez, and I think there's a lot of stuff in Florida named after
Mexico.
Him, like roads and things like that.
And it's funny, think about Cortez, right? He would go to villages, the Aztec Mayan villages. People will already be dead. A whole village will be dead because of the smallpox that travel in the air.
And people talk about
kill.
How many people they saw,
dead.
And what they saw. Yeah, like once the Europeans, like the accounts of them first coming across people, whether they recognized like seeing mass death and stuff from plague or, you know.
But by then they weaponized.
There was like weaponization and stuff, but like a lot of the first accounts were from already like cultures who like lost a lot of their culture and stuff too. But yeah, it was, I believe, weaponized. Like
yeah, they
basically,
basically they saw what they did. They were leaving like a trail of bodies behind due to the diseases because many people were sick. And a lot of the times that they would go and invade certain areas, the people were already, like, they would see a bunch of sick people. And so they started to really pick up and recognize that they were able to do that. I think by the time that they did invade the Aztecs, they knew very well. So it was kind of like a wait. Like they would wait. I remember the story where the Aztec Empire were basically hiding within their walls and stuff, and the Spaniards were basically like, you know, it's no problem for us because, you know, if it's a waiting game, the disease will take you out. It's fine because they knew that they couldn't take them out face to face.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing. It's a miracle that we're still here, really, with the smallpox, syphilis, all these diseases. It's amazing. It's a miracle, actually, I believe. The Caribbean indigenous culture survived. It's amazing.
And I think it's really important that we talk about it and all that. We've had, like, different struggles than a lot of other, like, indigenous peoples. But, you know, we have our own movement going. And I don't know. It's good that we're talking about and just, like, learning about our culture and heritage and our similarities with other indigenous peoples of the Americas.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yep. Well, guys, we ran out of time. We got into some history here. Wait a minute. So, any final comments? Anyone have any news? Anything special?
It went by faster than I thought.
There you go.
We were very engaged.
Yeah, that's it, man. This is wonderful. And for any listeners out there from Arayeke Yukayek, listen, you're always invited to call in. Want to be a beat reporter wherever you live, Wisconsin, Tennessee, California, Florida. Come on in. Come on in. Dial in and tell us what's going on in your neck in the woods, right?
And don't be shy. It's all chill, like, conversation amongst people who are, like, have a lot of similarities. Like, it's just, like, fun conversation where you get to, like, share what you know about. And, yeah.
You get to share and learn and spread, you know, spread some culture. I learned a lot today. Very thankful for that.
Ditto.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. That's great. So maybe next time we can go more into the history too, you know, pick a subject. So,
I would love that.
Right, we'll see what happens. So, all right, man. So,
I just
want to
say thank you, Santa Cory, for having me, and thank you, Stephanie. Both were
thank you, Mimi.
Amazing. I appreciate you guys
being
here today.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Stephanie. For breaking news. Straight out of McKinnecock land, from Long Island. Long Island. I heard it's long. But,
okay, I want that fruit website, please.
Yes, I'm gonna send you
guys Guanabana.
Yes.
Yo, but you know what's messed up about Guanabana though that I never liked? That when you pick it up from the ground, all the ants start getting on your hand and arms. Like you don't see ants, but they're like the ants. You know? Those sweet ants. But there we go. So,
they're so tiny.
Oh, I know, right? They'd be tiny, right? Also, the ones that bite.
I used to call them ghosts. Like the ghosts, they look so they kind of look a little transparent.
That's true, right? They're like sweet, right? They love the sweets, but they can devour you though. There's millions of them. They come out fast. They don't play.
Hiding for your food with the ants.
Oh my god, it's like. So all right then. So we're gonna close out the show. Hold on a second. Let me see. Yeah, should I put one song for the ending? What do you think?
I think so.
Oh wait.
Yes, please.
Wait, I'm sorry. I got one. Oh, someone did call. All right, we got one more caller.
Oh.
And let this caller end the show. They said it has some comments. Wow, from Borinquen. Cool. All right.
Oh, my God. Welcome.
Straight out of Borinquen. Okay, mano. Cuando suave. So what do you think about Arayeke Radio? You sound happy. So you guys will welcome us there one day when we move down there? What do you think?
Welcome, caller.
Hey, they sound very happy. What do you think? That's it, man. I think it's a done deal. Hey, you know, I do want to play this song. I always play this song. It was written by Juan Luis Guerra. I don't know if you guys know him, that Dominican singer. Great voice. But in 1992, when everyone was celebrating the 500 years anniversary of the discovery of the Americas by Christopher Columbus, even the Pope came to DR to give a speech, Pope John Paul II. Juan Luis Guerra wrote this album. He wrote two songs, Ajerito and this one called Naboria Daka Mayani Makana, right? And basically the song is talking about the Taino saying one thing, please don't kill us. And he was criticized for this album, you know. He was criticized for it and by the locals. But he stuck to his guns. He said, no, we need to know our history. And he wrote this song in the Taino language. So this is research people. Research a lot of the words. So it's called Naboria Daka Mayani Makana. Juan Luis Guerra. Thank you all for listening and downloading the show. Thank you, all the Stephanies and Mimi. Thank you all for being here. Wow, what a show.
Naboria da ka te yo, 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 Naboria